Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It often happens that in later years we begin to reflect and look back on life. And when we do that someday, life is going to confront us, sometimes unkindly, with whether or not the life that we lived was worthwhile. Whether our successes were real and whether they were worth the sacrifices and all the trade-offs. Christian thinker Oz Guinness raises this important question in a book that he entitles The Call. His point is that God has called us to find and fulfill a purpose in life that is greater than ourselves. And this is what Jesus was inviting Philip to do when he found Philip and said to him simply, "Follow me." He was inviting Philip to forget himself and to find life's true purpose in following Jesus. For unless we heed the call to follow Jesus, we will never have the comfort of knowing that we did in this life what God intended us to do, and our short life, our very short life, will be wasted. To illustrate this point, Oz Guinness tells the story of Leonardo da Vinci, creator of that priceless art masterpiece, The Last Supper and the Mona Lisa. Only months before da Vinci dies in 1519, he returns to the city to see the Church of Santa Maria della Grazia in Milan to discover that dampness in the walls is already seeping through and damaging that famous fresco of the Last Supper. And so da Vinci will go to his grave knowing that his greatest achievement was already decaying in his own lifetime. This illustrates that if we live only for this life, there will be no happy outcome. There cannot be. For when this life ends, everything that we have lived for, everything that we have worked for apart from Christ, will no longer hold its value. For this life holds no lasting value apart from Christ. In fact, life only finds its significance when we know by faith that we have been called to inherit eternal life through Jesus Christ. Oz Guinness calls this the primary call of grace that we receive from God. That God has called you to believe that you have both God's favor and his forgiveness for all time in his Son. Now, in the end, as you reflect back, you may be unsure if your life has really amounted to anything. But ultimately, that is not what matters to the Christian. What matters is that you are sure of the life that Jesus has lived for you and offered up to God on the cross in your place. This is what God has called you to believe, that God's love for you caused him to send his Son, his only Son, to die for you. The secondary call is this fresh perspective of faith that the Holy Spirit brings to the Christian's life. For in baptism, we are called to die to sin and its allure so that we can live for God. Serving Christ with our whole heart replaces our former life that was filled with selfishness and sinful desire. The Christian realizes that he or she was put on this planet for a higher purpose, a holier purpose. And that purpose, my friends, is to exalt Christ in our lives. And so faith looks at life and prioritizes life in this new way, so that we come to understand that whoever we are and whatever we do in this life, we do for Christ, for we are called to follow Him. Whether we are a business person, whether we are the teacher, the factory worker, or the television news anchor, Christians grow to understand that we are all called, first and foremost, to witness to the love of Christ in word and deed, whatever our occupation is. For we all share that calling as Christians. So now you know what it means to be called, but now God wants to make you certain that you are called. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word that's translated for call or called has a very similar meaning to the way we use it in English. In daily conversation, when we talk about someone calling us, we mean that they're trying to reach us, usually by phone. If they have called us, it means they are the ones that are initiating contact with us. Well, in today's Old Testament lesson, we read these words. The Lord called Samuel. In this call, the Lord was attempting to initiate contact with Samuel, to connect with him. Since we read in the text that Samuel was a young man who did not yet know the Lord. And at first, the Lord doesn't get through to Samuel. And so the Lord calls again and again, saying, Samuel, Samuel. Now, if we have caller ID, you know what happens. Sometimes we ignore those incoming calls. We think maybe it's a telemarketer or that it's not urgent or it's someone we just don't want to talk to right now, and so we decide not to answer the call. In the same way, at first, Samuel doesn't answer the call of the Lord because he thinks it's Eli, the high priest, who is calling him. Samuel doesn't recognize that this is the Lord's voice when he receives the call from God. And so they don't connect. Even though the Lord is calling Samuel miraculously by a direct revelation. And even though the Lord contacts Samuel directly in his own voice, like we sometimes wish he would do to us, notice that the Lord still uses the human voice of Eli to interpret and to explain the call that Samuel had just received. Now I'd like you to jump forward in time to today's gospel, where Jesus, who is both Lord and God in the flesh, calls Philip directly with these words, follow me. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Philip comes to faith, and he answers this call to follow Jesus. And thanks to the Spirit of God, Philip recognizes who this one is who has just called him, that he is none other than the Son of God. And then, as if Philip were part of a caller tree, a phone tree, to contact others on his list, he begins calling on everyone he knows, including Nathanael, to pass on the good news about Jesus. Once the disciples are called and later commissioned to be apostles, the Lord no longer would be calling others directly. But now he calls others to faith indirectly by human means, using first the verbal witness of the apostles while they were alive, and later he would work through their written word, which we know is God's word. We no longer have to be contacted by the Lord through a miracle or a dream or a vision to know and be certain that God has called us. My friends, you don't have to have a dramatic calling or conversion like Samuel or Philip to be called by the Lord. For these days, the Lord calls us to faith, and he keeps us in faith simply by the word that we hear preached. Didn't Jesus himself say, "My sheep know my voice. They know when I speak to them in the gospel, and they follow me." Now, when you're not at home, you know how this happens. A family member will write down a message when someone calls you. And it doesn't make that message any less important because you didn't receive it in person. In the same way, the message which the apostles wrote down for us has the same power and the same importance as if God had shouted the message to you from the clouds in heaven. Christ would use Philip then to call Nathanael to faith. And even though Nathanael's invitation to meet Jesus would come through a human source, his friend Philip, still the call was from God. Since Nathanael went to meet Jesus instead of Jesus coming to meet Nathanael, Nathanael might have assumed that he was calling Jesus because he was initiating the contact. But to counter this in our gospel, Jesus would explain that before Nathanael even thought of him, he saw Nathanael under the fig tree before they ever met. This was Jesus' way of explaining that he is the one who knows us and loves us and calls us to faith. He is the one who always initiates the conversation. For we cannot believe in Jesus or come to him unless he causes us to do this by his Spirit, working through the word that creates this faith in us. Now, there are some ways in which the call from the Lord differs from an ordinary phone call. When we call others on the phone, we can only communicate. We can communicate our wishes, our intentions, our desires over the phone. But when God calls us through the gospel, my friends, things begin to happen. Just as they did in creation. For what happened when God called the light day and the darkness night? But he created day and night. And when God called all things into existence, he did not just communicate with things that existed, but he called them into being. And so on the days of creation, when God spoke the word, he actually had the power to call things to exist. And it's the same with faith. When God calls you to faith through hearing the gospel, God isn't just inviting you to believe or to choose to believe in him, but God is the one that is calling your faith into existence. He's creating the very faith in you that faith calls for. So when God calls you through the gospel, the Lord isn't just contacting you and offering you a choice, like whether to sign up on the phone for some kind of service or vacation package, but he is actually calling you and choosing you to be his own. He is not only contacting you, he is converting you. He is calling faith into existence in the recesses of your heart. And so God's call also indicates his election or his choice of you to be saved in Christ for all eternity. Today in the second service is New Member Sunday. And we are going to receive quite a few people into membership through transfer or adult confirmation or affirmation of faith. And whether you are standing at this altar today as a new member that joins our church, or whether you are sitting in the pew and you are already a member of the body of Christ, know this, that just as certainly as God called out to Samuel, God has called you to be here today. God has called you into fellowship with his son. For if you are here today, I can tell you that it is because you believe in Jesus. And you want to be where his word forgives sins, and where his sacraments strengthen faith and sustain your inner life. Nathanael believed that Jesus was the Son of God when he learned that Jesus knew in advance that he would come to him. In the same way, from all eternity, God chose you to believe. And so when you heard the call, God also claimed you, even before you were born. The fact that you believe in him, the fact that you want to belong to his church, my friends, it's proof. It's proof that before you ever came to him, he came to you in the gospel. He came to you in the waters of baptism. And he calls you to an unending life of joy in his son. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in this confidence. Amen.